Victor Lang is the Executive Director of Small Business Australia, joins us on the line. Thanks for your time again.
Good morning, Steve.
Just before I get on to your new political party that you've fired up late last week, what would shutting down borders again do to small business?
Well, the first thing it does, Chris, is it throws everyone's plans for, you know, Christmas holidays, vacations, etc., into disarray. So in terms of what people were thinking and planning as of a few days ago, a lot of that's up in the air. So that impacts that directly, and therefore the businesses in those areas that they were going to go to. And of course, they're more generally confidence overall. You know, there's been a lot of noise about the new variant. You know, more information to come around the extent to which, you know, how serious it is, how easily it's spread, et cetera, et cetera. But look, you know, we have to be learning to get on living with viruses. So not the viruses, in the same way that, you know, we have to get on with living with climate change. We've always adapted. That's the story of evolution and Homo sapiens. You know, let's remain calm. Let's go about, you know, go about our business. Let's not get too sort of sucked into the vortex of this being another crisis and emergency meetings being called. We'd like to see some calmness and some consideration as to how things move forward.
It seems that every state will handle it differently. We've seen that for the last 18 months since March 2020. WA's locked up like some sort of weird kingdom that no one can ever go to again. Queensland, I can't quite work out whether I can get in there or can't get in there. South Australia, where I want to go to get my mother, I don't know what regulations are, whether I have to quarantine. But in Victoria, they have been the toughest, the longest lockdowns, and Victorians have suffered more than anyone else in the country. You'd have to hope, and there was a quote from Brett Sutton today that gave me some hope, that they won't now retreat back to the bad old days of lockdowns. Is this why you've started this political party, to try and get some sense into this debate in Victoria?
We've been conducting research now, like every month nationwide, and then more specifically in the last couple of months, we've had 8,000 Australians, 4,000 small business families provide very detailed input into the impact of the pandemic on them as individuals, their families, their businesses, you know, what they wanted to see going forward on a range of things. And we asked them some questions around, you know, politicians and political parties and what they want to see, what they think would improve things. And the overwhelming message coming back was they want to see politicians publish on a regular basis actual performance goals. They want to see the reporting on that in plain English, you know, every 6 months or so. They want the ability to actually recall a government if it's got itself elected on a whole range of promises and then basically forgets about them. They're very concerned about the powers of any government of any persuasion, irrespective of the colour of the T-shirts they wear, their ability to manage the narrative and push out the information via various channels, and then to literally lie, to say one thing one day and then say, no, I never ever said that, you know, contrary to, you know, all the evidence. And as, you know, life's busy at the moment, this virus, you know, the new variant is going to be the new thing that everyone's going to be focused on, and it's going to be hitting people on their mobile phones, on the television, on the radio. But who's keeping their eye on what's taking place? And in Victoria, Steve, we have this pandemic bill, and we had the government with three so-called independents in the upper house wanting to move a $10,000 fine that many small business families in Victoria have been unfairly hit with, to move it to $90,000, and they're going to push this thing through. And as people have been approaching Small Business Australia and many, many other people and other groups, are saying, what are we going to do about this? We've got this sort of two-horse race, sort of the old Holden Commodores of the Labor Party and the Ford Fairlanes of the Liberal Party. Yeah, can't we have a different approach? Can't we get people with some life experience, with some small business experience, with frontline delivery and management experience, as opposed to some PR people, some career young Liberals, young Labor people, or unionists? Let's get some real people in there applying some common sense and life experience to things.
That'll add to, obviously, if you were to get elected or any of the members of your team, that will add to the independent and cross benches. The election's not until November next year, so almost a year ago last week. Is that a good thing to have a fractured parliament like that? I mean, we see that this bill here now, I mean, I suspect that they will peel off one of these people and they will get that through this week. Is that your understanding?
Well, look, well, here's the interesting thing that many people don't realise in the way it works in Victoria, but if I take the Animal Justice Party that a guy called Andy Medic is in charge of, yes. 2.4% of people in Victoria voted for that party. Fiona Patten, you know, came out with a splash as the sex party, then apparently called it the Reason Party, supposed to be libertarians. 1.4% of Victorians actually voted for that party. Now, Steve, if one in five Victorians put one, the Victorians Party, in the upper house, that will be at least 8 out of 40 reasonable, experienced people that will actually start ensuring that irrespective of who the government might be in the lower house, there's some more common sense applied, some more daylight on what's going on so that everyone will see what's going on rather than these sweet little sort of dirty deals done dirt cheap that takes place at the moment with what you'd have to call fringe super minority representatives.
What is the party's view, the Victorians Party? What's your view on vaccination mandates? As Daniel Andrews stands there today, he has said that normal social activity for unvaccinated people will not return probably until the end of next year. The earliest, he said, would be after the Grand Prix in April. Surely we can't, when we've got over, I think, 92% of people now double vaccinated, surely we can't tell people who are not willing to get vaccinated that they can't go and have a cup of coffee or get a haircut.
Look, you know, in terms of the groups of people that have got together to create the Victorians Party, we are very pro-vaccination, right? So the science is there,
so
the evidence is there, and the Australians have put up their hands left, right and centre and have gone out and taken place. Now, you know, you and I have talked about this many times. There's been such a lack of ongoing reasonable education for the citizens to understand this. What the Labor government in Victoria prefers to do is to, you know, flagellate the people rather than educate the people, Steve.
So you didn't quite answer the question, Bill. As a party, are you opposed to vaccination mandates?
I would say, Steve, that, you know, apart from those very serious occupational health and safety issues, aged care, the health system, in a range of other industries, it should not be mandated. We're at 90% plus double vaccinated. We can't be setting up a two-tier society and having this government lock all of these people out and treating them like lepers.
Well, every Saturday now, we're looking at somewhere between, depending on who you believe, 100,000 and 20,000 people marching through the streets.
Well, I have attended a couple of those rallies, and I can assure you it's many, many more than 20,000, Steve, and I welcome
well,
you
that's
to come
what the,
down.
I know they tried to... I can't believe that. They tried to say 20,000, and that's clearly about half, if not less, than what really were there. There's got to be... I mean, if it stretches from Spring Street to Maya, that's 100,000 people in my book.
And look, there's plenty of time-release video footage now, drone footage that shows that's the case. And you've got to ask the question, like, why is the mainstream media reporting numbers like that? Who do they get that from? They get it from, I believe, the police force. Where do they get those numbers from? What does the police force do? It does exactly what it's told by the government.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. Your other candidates, Oscar Yildiz, you've also got Paul Di Martino. I hope he's healthy and well. Businesswoman Ingrid Maynard. So will you add to that list?
Yeah, so Steve, you know, we're the group of people that have, you know, sort of formally pulled this together and are now finding members, you know, joining up at a rapid rate and people putting their hands up wishing to be candidates. So, you know, we're going to run a very professional process. Like, here's the job description, here's what's involved, here are the skills that you needed, here's how you'll be selected, here's how you go about applying. And we're expecting to see, you know, dozens and dozens of high quality candidates across the state. And so there's already been about 20 people have approached vicparty.com saying, listen, I'd love to be a candidate. By the way, I was the mayor of this local government area, or I was the mayor of that local government area. So people that know their local communities, know what those local communities need, as opposed to what we see today, a number of MPs in the state government of Victoria don't even live in their electorates.
Good to catch up again, Bill. Good luck with it all. Thanks a lot, mate.
Thanks, Steve.
Bill Lang, Small Business Australia Executive Director and convener of this new